Hello, hello, my friends. I am Jenny Lin, and this is my show. I am a wife and mom of two crazy kiddos. I have struggled many years with chronic illness and pain. I have a passion to find out as much as I can while navigating through life not always feeling 100%. I have realized that having a positive mindset is a must in today's crazy world. You deserve to live this life showing up as your best self, and I can help you get there. If you've been feeling lost after becoming a mom, you're not alone. I know that incredible woman is still in there, just begging to be found. I am here to create a safe, non-judgmental space for like-minded women. Let's empower each other. I am so happy you're here. Now, let's jump into the 123 Mom Squad podcast with me, Jenny Lin. Hello, my favorite friends, and welcome back. This is Jenny, and I am your host of the 123 Mom Squad podcast. I have such a special guest on my show today, Kate Glaser. She is a friendly neighbor from Buffalo, New York, and she is just kind of like a local celebrity around here, you know? If you know, you know. But here is Kate's bio. She is the founder of Hope Rises. It's a good news blog and a give back hub, and it spans all corners of the globe. Hope Rises, which aims to ignite hope through stories of love and goodwill, has raised more than $250,000 for individuals, families, and causes in need since 2017, and has an average of 6 to 8 million weekly reach on social media. Kate is a former television journalist and nonprofit marketing expert, now runs Hope Rises as a nonprofit, and is also a brand and storytelling consultant for a number of clients, big and small. She resides in Western New York with her three children, including twins, her two rescue dogs, and her husband and business partner, Brian. I really know that you're going to just enjoy this episode, and I hope that you check out Kate's links at the bottom of the show notes today so you can see what exactly it is that she has her mission to set out to do. But she really, truly is an inspiration to everybody around Buffalo. And I know that she's helping people far and wide. So without further ado, let's welcome Kate Glaser. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the 123 Mom Squad podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Nice and comfy in my office chair. So this is a little bit casual, but I love that. It's so nice to finally talk to you and excited to talk about my brand.
Absolutely. Let me give the audience a little bit of introduction about Kate. Kate is the founder of Hope Rises. It is a good news blog and gives you all the wonderful good feels. And it is also a give back hub that spans all corners of the globe. And Hope Rises, which aims to ignite hope through stories of love and goodwill, has raised more than $250,000 for individuals, families, and causes in need since 2017. So that is a lot. And you should just be so proud of yourself. That is quite, that is incredible. So congratulations with all of that.
Thank you so much. It really is amazing. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. What were you doing before you kind of started all of this? And ultimately, what led you to where you are now and what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So I was a television reporter for 8 years. I started actually in college. I was working full time at Channel 4, which is the CBS affiliate here in Buffalo. I did producing and, web editing and things like that. And I really realized how much I love telling stories. And I feel like stories are so important when it comes to gaining support from people. It's all about telling that story and seeing how people can support you. So, I was in television news for, like I said, about 8 years. And then I just really got tired of waking up for work at 2:30 in the morning. So I was a morning reporter. Yeah. So it was very, very tough, but I feel like it really taught me how to be a better communicator, a better, storyteller, things like that. So I did leave the news department and went over to nonprofit sector. I worked for Make-A-Wish Western New York, which was obviously one of the best life-changing missions there is when it comes to, you know, children who are sick. And I actually was a storyteller for Make-A-Wish as a volunteer before I was hired. So I always tell people that if you want to work somewhere, learn how to volunteer first. Don't just expect that you're going to get hired right away. Like, I was a volunteer for a couple of years before I became an employee for Make-A-Wish. And I really do feel like my experience, you know, as a volunteer, really understanding the mission from an internal standpoint really helped me get that job. So I worked at Make-A-Wish for a number of years, and then I actually was recruited away from Make-A-Wish to Mercy Flight. And for those who are not in the Western New York region, Mercy Flight is a life-saving air medevac organization, basically medical helicopters and life-saving, you know, sort of missions that they do. So I worked with like heroes every single day. I would walk in, they're in their orange jumpsuits. They're just like it's like when you see someone in the military, you just want to salute them. That's how it was like every day when I went into work and I got to work with these life-saving heroes. So I realized when I left Make-A-Wish and went to Mercy Flight that I really needed some hope in my life, just because I had gone from a very, very happy, joyful mission. One that obviously is very sad because not every child is able to grow into adulthood when they are a wish kid. A lot of them do, but some don't. So I was also walking into an organization that deals with emergencies and really hard days and really tough situations. So I always wanted to start a blog. I always felt like it was something that I wanted to do to kind of have ownership over the stories that I was telling. And then when I worked at Mercy Flight, I said, now is the time. I should do it. I should just pull the trigger and do it. So, it was actually on a road trip back from Florida that I thought about what I could call the blog, what it would be about. And the term Hope Rises kind of popped in my head because hope is such a powerful word. It's such a powerful force. I feel like everyone can use more hope in their lives. You know, even if their life is not super hard like others, there's always hope that can be needed in situations. And then ultimately, hope rises in every tragedy. So Hope Rises is a good news platform, obviously, but we also tell stories that are really hard to hear sometimes. They're not always, you know, these really positive, happy stories. There are sad, you know, tragic stories that we tell, but there's always hope in them, which I think is really special. It's something that kind of sets us apart from other good news blogs. There's definitely some, you know, good news blogs like Tank Good News or Good News Movement. There's a lot of like blogs across the nation or across the world that are doing kind of what we're doing. But we really focus on, you know, tragic stories that there is hope, there is happiness, there is joy in them. You just have to look for that sometimes, look extra hard. We also became a nonprofit. So that kind of also sets us apart from other good news platforms is we're also raising money for, you know, organizations and families and people that are in need. So like I said, like you mentioned in my bio, that we've raised, you know, over $250,000 of, you know, trying to give back to people that are in need. And we've had countless projects that we work on. So we call them our Give Hope projects. And the really cool thing is that any money that's donated to Hope Rises, our nonprofit, 100% goes back out into the community. I don't take a salary from Hope Rises. We are all volunteers. Obviously, I'm leading those efforts, but we have some really beautiful volunteers that help us kind of with our Give Hope projects. And we don't take a penny from any of those. So I always want it to be like that. I want it to be a nonprofit that really just, you know, gets money in, turns back around and gives it back out to those in need. And it's been such a great ride. I mean, Hope Rises is not even 5 years old yet. And it's just, I feel like it's progressed so much and I can't wait to see where the next 5 years takes us.
That is quite a story and such a special, you know, just something so special to kind of really give back to those in need. And with the nonprofit, definitely giving back 100%. I think a lot of people are always kind of hesitant to donate to certain charities when you never know how much of what it is that you're giving is actually going to the fund itself or to the people on the other end that actually need it. Do you go to specific events to let people know that you're, what it is that you're doing? Or is it more like on social media?
Yeah, I mean, our social media is super strong. We have a 6 to 8 million weekly reach on our Instagram. So that obviously really, really helps us spread the word about what we're doing. A lot of times we like put up, okay, this is what we're working on. This is a fundraiser that we're trying to hold, or we're trying to raise money for, gosh, we just raised money for a little girl who passed away from cancer, and she was only 8 months old, and the family had no way of, you know, funding a headstone for her. Something so simple, something so meaningful for that family that they didn't even have the funds to do that. So we simply told her story and we raised that money in 2 days. So it's all about telling that story. And I don't feel like, you know, attending events per se helps us. I mean, always networking always helps, right? So we try to remain connected with our community, but social media is definitely where we go when it comes to wanting support and trying to get our audience to really help us. So we are very active on Instagram, very active on Facebook. I should be active on LinkedIn. I'm not so much. I really should be. Because that's kind of where the sponsorship dollars probably come in. But yeah, I mean, we are constantly posting and I definitely drive the brand forward. My husband actually is helping me as well now. Now we work kind of full-time together trying to manage Hope Rises nonprofit, my Hope Rises network marketing company on the side as well. So there's like so much going on, but we have a very, you know, loyal, dedicated volunteer base that we reach out to if we ever need help. And certainly our fans always kind of step up to the plate and help us as well.
Absolutely. I see you share all these amazing stories and inspiring stories. And yeah, some of them just tug at your heartstrings, right? They are sad, but hope definitely pulls the community together and to share the word and ultimately get the family what it is that they need, the support and love from everybody around.
Yeah. And yeah. To me, I just feel like, I don't know. I think it's just me and really it's the passion that drives behind. But when I hear these stories, I don't know how people can sit back and not do anything. So like, to me, it's like, how do you not respond? How do you not get involved? Or how do you not say, what can I do to help? That's kind of what drives everything forward. People say, how do you do it all? How do you do all this and, you know, give back every month? There's a certain project that you're working on. And I always think about if we didn't help, who would step in and help? And, you know, how can we just spend an extra hour a day, you know, giving towards a family that's in need? How do we not write a story about it when we have this platform? So I always say, you know, people ask me, how do you grow a brand that big? How do you do it? You got to put in the work. You got to put in the extra hours. It is not easy. But if you're able to help and make this world a better place, to me, that's the ultimate drive. That's the ultimate reason why I have the passion I do, is because of that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I completely agree with that. You mentioned that your husband now kind of work, you guys work hand in hand. Is that hard? Is that hard to do?
No, only, I mean, yes, probably yes and no. I would say that I am not a numbers person. I am not an organized person. I am not one who can sit at a desk and make sure that I'm like 100% organized or in line or making sure I'm upholding to the standards of a nonprofit. There's so many things that go into running a business and a nonprofit and all the content that comes with it. So he kind of keeps me grounded. He's like my, he's like the like business end of things. He makes sure that we're in line with everything. He makes sure that, you know, everything is being filed away like it should be. I'm more the big ideas and then more the execution of stuff. So like projects and, you know, network of our network of, you know, people that we talk to, kind of making sure that we're out in the community. That's kind of like my specialty. Whereas he's more of like the organized, like, I don't want to say type A because he's really not type A, but he just makes sure that everything is being taken care of that it should be. Otherwise, I don't even know what I do. He's kind of like my, he's probably like my CFO, my, you know, CDO kind of thing, like very, just very organized, really, really making sure that we are just staying the course and doing everything right. So yeah, I think that's why it's been so good. I think if we both have the same personalities or like the same execution style, it would probably cause some issues, but he really keeps me organized.
Well, that's important too, you know, to have a spouse that is supportive of everything that you're doing. And because I think that otherwise it could make life a little bit more miserable and hard to really ultimately get your word and what it is that you're passionate about out there, because then something is kind of holding you back. I'm glad that you guys are a team. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we have three young kids, so we really have to be. I'm not, you know, just a business person. I'm a mom first. And gosh, I don't even know what I'd do without them, because how do you take care of twin toddlers and a two-year-old? I mean, it's crazy, but you make it work together. And ultimately you're in business together to improve the world, but also improve your family as well. Like my kids are seeing all the work that we're doing in the community, helping others. And I think that really impacts them. And I'm hoping that kind of helps them have a charitable heart as they get older.
Oh my gosh, for sure. That is so important. You know, giving back and letting them see what it is that both of you are doing, and that it is something that you are really, really so passionate about and driven towards, which is a reason almost like why I kind of started doing something for myself and wanting to be passionate about letting others know that they are not alone. You know, there's other women and people out there that are just like them, and you're not broken or defined by anything. And, you know, ultimately, when it comes to the word hope, I think that is such an important four-letter word, especially in our day and age. There's so many not so nice things happening out there, and not so many nice things on the news that I don't watch. Seeing, you know, more of the good in people, and know that there are good people out there like you that are spreading the word for the people that ultimately need to hear your message is so important. So again, thank you for doing that for the community and globally, because you reach all over the globe, you mentioned, right?
Yeah. I think, gosh, I looked at my analytics the other day. One of the biggest cities that supports us is like London. They're one of our top cities that kind of comes in through our Instagram, and we have some Australia. Like, yeah, definitely. We social media obviously is the reason behind that. So social media is not limited to just where you live. So the bigger we got on Instagram, the more fans we got in from all across the globe. And ultimately it diversifies our audience. It diversifies our content that's coming through. So people submit stories from different countries, and I love that. I mean, I definitely think that there's hope and happiness and kindness all across the globe, not just in Buffalo, New York. So definitely like to showcase all of that.
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to just go back when you had mentioned that you have three young children, which brings me to all of the moms and busy women out there want to know, how do you balance such a crazy career life then with family life? And then also ultimately yourself not being so overwhelmed, you know, personally, finding your own downtime, and what do you ultimately do on your, if you have any downtime?
Yeah. Downtime is really tough. I think that's tough for every mom, you know, working moms, stay-at-home moms, you know, downtime as a mom is just like non-existent. I mean, some women do get downtime, but, you know, I definitely feel like it's harder for me. And I'm in a really rough period with the kids, only because of their age, and they need me more than, like, you know, let's say when they get older, they're not going to need me as much as far as like making sure they're taken care of. Obviously, you know, moms are needed at any point in a child's life, but I have a two-year-old, and then I have 2 5-year-olds. So things are really tough right now. And I actually find it tougher now that they're in kindergarten, making sure they're staying up on top of their schoolwork and making sure they're making friends, making sure their mental health is okay. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it. Obviously my two-year-old is a lot of work, but she's not dealing with the problems that my 5-year-olds are dealing with. There's already bullying in the classroom, which is crazy to me. So I don't know. I think that, you know, self-care, you know, it's as simple as going to get a coffee in the morning. Like, I do not judge any mom in line for a coffee. Like, it is necessary sometimes just to get some alone time, like take a drive and just go by yourself. And yesterday I went to church by myself. Like, I had my mother-in-law watch the kids, because my husband's out of town, and I just needed to like go to church by myself and just like be kind of like centered. And so I always feel like, you know, women think that being on their own and doing their own thing is selfish. And I sometimes feel like selfish for doing that, but mental health is so important for moms. I mean, they really need to feel mentally okay to be able to take care of their kids. So whether it be, you know, taking a run outside, taking a walk, going to church by yourself, like going to get coffee by yourself, that's all part of self-care and mental health, or even just sitting outside for 5 minutes by yourself really helps. I find that the more I give back, the more I focus on my career, the more I'm really trying to see what else I can do to help my community and my world. I feel like that's good mental health for me. Though it's a lot of work, I feel like I feel mentally good, more so than I did when I worked a full-time job and didn't run Hope Rises, because I knew I was working towards the brand that I was building. So while it was a lot of work, while it was a lot of hours, while, you know, most people are going to bed or watching Netflix at night, I'm up working. That's kind of because I know I'm building a brand that I'm really proud of. So you have to put the sacrifice in. So I don't remember your original question, but work-life balance is really tough right now, but that's the season I'm in. And I kind of accepted that. And, you know, even this weekend, like I didn't work at all. I took the entire weekend off. My husband was away. He was visiting his best friend in Long Island. So I had the kids by myself and I knew I could not get any work done. I accepted that. I'm like, I am not working this weekend. We went to a pool party yesterday. We went to the park and like went to lunch on Saturday. So it was one of those things that like, I just, you know, there's just an ebb and flow where it's like, sometimes I'm really working hard. I work 12 hours a day and that's really no lie. Like I'm at my computer so long and I don't really see my kids, but the next day I try to like not work as much and just kind of make sure I have dinner with them. So I would say the number one thing that number one reason I can do that is because I have a supportive husband that really takes the lead when he needs to, because he knows I'm running this brand. So he makes sure that, you know, dinner's on the table, the house is cleaned up. There's a lot of different things that we kind of take turns. I give a lot of credit to single moms. I grew up in a single mom household. My mom was always stressed. She was always like, I don't even know how she did it, because now I have three kids and she had three kids then, and I don't know how she did it. So I would just say, single moms out there, I don't know how you do it. I give you all the praise and you should be really proud of yourself, because the reason I can do what I do is because of my husband.
That is so very important when you do have that other team member working beside you and kind of taking the lead when you know that you need to get something done, and ultimately not feeling guilty about doing that either, you know? And I think when you had mentioned when you're working for 12 hours, but it's all about where you're spending your energy. So even though you're spending 12 hours, but you're doing something that you're enjoying creating what it is that you're passionate about, it's all about giving the right energy into yourself and recharging that battery the right way. It's a whole different energy flow of how you really just go about your daily life and how you show up for yourself and other people. I think that that is very important too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So another question I have for you, you had mentioned that people submit kind of stories to you. So how do you find the stories that you share?
Constant research, constant content grabbing. Okay. You know, there are hours and hours and hours a week that I'm just like researching. Okay, what are some good stories? You also have to be timely. Like, you know, unfortunately, when that mass shooting happened in Buffalo or the mass shooting happened in Texas, I'm not going to be posting about something else going on. You have to be like, you can't be tone deaf. So we definitely pay attention to what's going on in the world as well, and making sure we respond to that appropriately on our platforms. One of the biggest examples was when the Buffalo shooting happened. We got very, very involved in helping one of the East Side organizations with diapers and wipes, something very, very simple that was, needed so much in that area. And frankly, I should have done it sooner. I shouldn't have waited until a tragedy happened for us to respond that way, but things happen and you have to learn from that and you have to be more diverse. So we have committed to helping this Eastside organization every year with their need of diapers. So that's just an example of like making sure you're not tone deaf, making sure you're responding to what's going on in the world. But we do have, you know, content that comes in through our channels, Facebook and Instagram, like daily. I definitely can't help everyone. We have a lot of GoFundMes that come in. We have a lot of things that kind of come through that maybe don't really make it for our platforms. It really has to be like very compelling content. We don't do GoFundMes. There's just no way we could do all of them. We've done a couple for people that we personally know, that we know their story and we know how much it's going to impact them. But I also have someone that works for me about 10 hours a week, and she helps me with content as well. So she's also content gathering for me, which is really, really great. But I just say, like, we just are constantly browsing, like, whether it be news sites or Instagram or Facebook, and making sure that we sort of like ask permission before we post. We never post anything without permission. We've learned the hard way that if you do that, you can end up in a lot of trouble. And, you know, we don't do that really. So anything that you see posted, we've always asked for permission. We've always asked to make sure that whoever, you know, posted it originally, make sure that we know that we are posting it. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we get the content. We're always like content researching. We always encourage people to send in stories to us or send in photos or videos. We can't take all of them. There's no guarantee if you send it in that it's going to be featured, but we definitely try to at least respond and say thank you. And but we get dozens of messages every day from people all across the world.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, they can like send you an email or like DM you on Instagram or Facebook.
Yep. DM on Facebook and Instagram. We also have a website called hoperisesnews.com that has all of our, you know, stories and everything on there. But yeah, I mean, DM goes a long way on Facebook and Instagram, and then we can see if we can help for sure.
That's great.
We always make sure that we're asking, can we feature your story? Because you never know if someone may not want to be as public as like just their page. Like if they've posted something and we take it and we run it, it's amplified by 100 times because we have such a big following. So we always want to make sure that everyone feels good about it.
Let's take a quick break.
Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that's the whole thing about social media, right? It can be positive, it can be negative, but ultimately I think it really can bring everybody together if we utilize it the right way. I kind of always go back to the pandemic. I don't think this whole Zoom and meeting people virtually, I have met so many people, you know, just through social media. And when you're actually virtually meeting them online, I think a lot of that would have happened had we not been stuck inside the house for, you know, almost 2 years. And I guess to me brought my new vision together was because I finally had the chance to get it done, because I was a full-time real estate agent and a full-time mom and doing all the things and then being involved in the kids' school and stuff. Not that I absolutely loved doing all that, but it wasn't anything that was giving me I wasn't going to bed happy, and I knew I had a bigger purpose and a bigger drive, you know? So I do think that spending your energy the way that your body is aligned to spend your energy, you're going to live your days a lot more happy and fulfilled when you're doing the things that are meant for you. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to share with you in the audience. Look, I have my, so long ago.
I know that was like, that was when we had our old logo. Yeah. We're now like a sun and we have a yellow logo, but oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I think we actually sold those for diamonds in the rough. I'm almost positive.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. And I'm almost positive. Like they all went to like the proceeds went to diamonds.
Oh, that's awesome. And just for people who don't know, actually, I think that's ultimately how the two of us got connected years ago was there is a local dog rescue close to us called Diamonds in the Rough. And both of us were volunteers for and fosters too, right? Were you a foster for them?
Okay. I was until I couldn't be anymore. My two girls, unfortunately, do not get along. So we have a very...
Oh no.
Two rescue girls that don't get along. So we have gates everywhere. And I'm like, I just can't add another one into the mix right now. There's just no way. They're both not good with dogs. And they used to be great with dogs. And then I had kids and that all switched. So until they're, you know, in doggy heaven, we are going to just support financially and all that stuff. But I can't wait to be a rescue again.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I love my animal. I don't know what I would do without my animals. I've got two are foster failures and, you know, one's from Puerto Rico. And, but then I have my fur niece, I call her, she's my only niece, but she's got four legs and fur. So I have her pretty much every day. And so I've got four dogs. So I'm not quite sure about adding another one into the mix. My kids keep saying, when are we going to get another foster mom? And I'm like, oh, kids, I'm not sure I can do that.
Yeah, it's like a pack. It's like once they become like more than two, it becomes a pack. And
yeah,
it could be great. It could not be, though. That's the only thing. It's like if you add another one, you don't know how it's going to be in the mix. So yeah, I always say don't do it if it's working. If it's working now, maybe just keep it how it's going, you know?
it is a fulfilling thing, though. I didn't know how it was going to work, especially when the kids were younger. I think my kids were about 6 and 7 when I got our first foster, but they loved it. I think I had like 6 or 7 of them. You know, it's hard to let each one of them go, but there's something about really, you know, putting them with their forever family. And it's just a beautiful thing. I definitely cried all the way home. You know, I mean,
no, I know
it's hard, but then you know that you saved another life and you have a chance to do it again, you know?
Yes.
So
yeah,
it's such a wonderful feeling. So
it is, it really is. I love it.
Absolutely. Just a couple other questions for you. What were the three most difficult personal obstacles when you were creating this brand that you kind of overcame?
I don't know about three, but I think one that really, well, obviously like building brand awareness is definitely an obstacle because, you know, that's a lot of work and not everyone in your circle is going to support you. Not every single person that you say like, please follow me. Like they're not going to. So as much as you want them to, like people are very busy and they can't always be your number one supporter. So I think just building brand awareness was definitely a big obstacle. Like the first year, maybe, I don't know, we had like 1,000 people that followed us and it was great. It was awesome. But obviously like we weren't growing like we wanted to until we started to really do more give back campaigns. So then we really started to like take off and Instagram took off this past year, which was so incredible. So I will always say just keep going if your heart's in it. Building a brand is very tough. It's constant, but ultimately you are building your own brand and you have control of your brand, which is amazing. So I always say that that's like such a big perk when it comes to building a brand. The other thing I would say is like not getting support from people. Like that's always really, really tough. The people that you want support from don't always necessarily, and I did mention that briefly, but just not letting those people get you down and just kind of making sure that you stay true to who you are, stay true to your brand, make sure that you're doing the best you can. And I would say that was a kind of a bigger obstacle that kind of frustrated me in the beginning. Now I just feel like I just keep doing the best I can, making sure you stay true to yourself. Some people honestly wonder like if I'm doing it to build my brand or am I really this kind? Do I really care about people this much? And I promise you that I do. I'm so in it because I grew up in a very, very rough household. I grew up in a house with like just no money. We had nothing. And it was like people that supported me are the reason that I am where I am today. And if I can be that support to other people and help them have a better life, then that's why I do what I do. And I'm so passionate about giving back and just trying to make this world a better one, because we always can use more hope. We can always use more kindness in this world. Always use more positivity. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I live my life and how I try to, you know, run my business and my brand.
I can't believe people would question if you're that kind. Like, you spend so many hours a day and literally sharing and pouring out your soul on social media and, you know, getting yourself out there. Why would you do that if you weren't fully involved and, you know, really into doing that? I mean, that is the purpose that you were given, you know, and to share it. And I can relate with you about the support, you know, the people that you thought were going to help and support you, like our ghosts, like they're not there, you know? And yeah, I do understand that people are busy, but people don't think twice about sharing a news article or a Twitter quote, you know, but to help support your friends that are really trying to make a difference. Why are people shy to do that?
I guess the biggest thing I've learned is just not to focus on that. And if you spend your time being bitter, which I've been bitter in the past for things like that, it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't help you. I've learned to just kind of like keep going. And when these people finally catch up and they want to support you, then welcome that. And I guess the biggest thing I've learned is just not to hold on to that bitterness. But I think that was definitely a big obstacle in the beginning, where I felt like I should have more support from some of my closer friends, and I didn't, but that's okay. I mean, not everyone is going to support you, and you don't do it for other people. You do it because you believe in what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. I know there were so many different things that I really wanted to do for myself when the kids were young, but a lot of them were all them MLMs, you know, the multi-level marketing things. I did like Jamberry Nails and ACN and like, what was the one decorating, like home and garden party. I was doing all these things, but I'm like, it wasn't something that I wanted to do something for myself and, you know, bring in money that, because I was a stay-at-home mom, I wasn't contributing to my household, but I wanted something for myself and to be proud of myself. But in the long run, it just was not aligned with who I was and what I ultimately needed out of my life and what I wanted to give back. So it all just kind of culminates in your head years after years after years of finally being like, all right, I'm just going to bite the bullet. And I'm just going to do the thing that I keep saying that I'm going to do, which was start a podcast and reach the people that struggle every day from any type of chronic illness or pain, and to let them know that there is hope out there, and you don't have to live your life defined to your illness. And the people that I've been speaking to, they either have an inspiring story that they've also said, I'm done living my life like this. I'm not going to live my life if I'm feeling achy today or whatever. I don't need to sit on the couch and sulk in my, you know, misery. Maybe I can still go for a light walk with my dogs, or, you know, just take a stroll at the park and just do something else, or just read a book and feed your mind. You don't have to sit there feeling sorry for yourself. Stay focused to your dream and your goals and what it is and why, ultimately why it is that you're doing what you're doing, because you know that even if the people that you thought were going to be there for you aren't, other people are finding you and finding your story and can relate. And they're going to be the ones to share to, you know, hey, check this person out. I'm really liking their content, or I like what they stand for and their mission. I'm excited to continue to meet people and get the message out there that there is more to life than just feeling sorry for yourself and defined by any illness. So, staying consistent is very, very, very important when it comes to anybody trying to poo-poo on your dreams. You know, don't let anybody do that to your dreams and goals. You can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
Well, I have two more questions that I ask everybody at the end of our chat here. So if you could go back to any time frame in your childhood, high school, teens, young adulthood, what time frame would you pick and why?
Probably time spent with my grandparents, because they were like my parents in a way. With my mom being a single mom, she worked a lot. My dad and I weren't very close. You know, my dad didn't live near us, so my grandparents really took care of us, and they had a small little apartment, like barely, I mean, they had like a little TV, like something so minimal, but we used to just, you know, like bake with my grandma and we would take walks and things like that. And I don't know, I think that like being there with my younger brother, and like I was kind of his like leader kind of thing, I would say like that was a really special time, even though at the time you don't think it is. But just being with them, they obviously are no longer here with us. They were much older when they were older grandparents, like they were in their 90s when I was younger. So, but they still were very in shape. They were still like very, very with it, and they took care of us and they were awesome. So I'd probably pick that.
That's special. All those memories, you always remember those forever, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, you don't realize it at the time, right? When you're making these memories, but you look back at them and go, oh my God, they were so special. I would do anything to make pierogies with my grandmother again. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then what advice would you give to those out there that suffer from a chronic illness or a mental illness? What advice would you give them?
So I don't suffer from either, but I do know that, like, you know, just making sure you find help, whether it be, you know, making sure that you have a mentor, making sure that you have like resources to be able to get help and support. You know, there's so many things out there nowadays. I feel like the stigma around mental health is kind of becoming less and less. Like, it's, people are open to talking about it. I know for a fact that I definitely suffered from postpartum a little bit after my twins, and I didn't probably get the help I needed. So that was kind of probably something that I can relate to, in ways that you feel like you're out of control. And, you know, it didn't last long for me. I was able to work my way out of it, but when you're stressed and you're in a stressful situation, it only exasperates everything. So I would just say making sure that you find, you know, mentors or resources or friends that can really help you, or like a church family that can help you with mental health, mental illness. There's just a lot of things that you can do, meditation, things like that. Just making sure that you talk about it and that you're not afraid to or ashamed to, and just making sure that you get the help you need. Which I'm so glad that, you know, chronic illness and mental health is something that people are not really ashamed to talk about anymore. And they shouldn't be ashamed about it, but I felt like there was much more stigma around it like 10 years ago versus today.
Yeah. Yeah. You are not alone, right? You're not alone. There are so many resources out there now, people that do want to help you. So yeah, if you struggle, it's out there. Do a simple Google search and you'll find any resource that you need for that type of help. So thank you for sharing that. All right, Kate, thank you so much for being here. I am so glad that we finally got a chance to connect again, from women supporting women, empowering women, and those of us around, and especially within our community. I think it's so great. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. So just tell us where the audience can connect with you.
Yep. So we're on Instagram. You can find us at Hope Rises Network. We're also on Facebook. You can find us at Hope Rises News. There's two, like a little sun logo if you're looking for us. There's a couple Hope Rises, but Hope Rises Network is kind of where we're the biggest on Instagram, and hoperisesnews.com. And then we also, if you're from the Buffalo region, we have a segment every Friday morning on News 4 at 8:20, 8:40, and 9:10. So there's like from the 8 to 9 a.m. hour, we have segments as well. You can catch us on News 4. And, you know, there's a lot of things coming up that we're excited about and just continuing to grind. And we also were featured in a Women's Day magazine. So we're still on the shelves until the end of July. So if you want to get the newest copy, it's on pretty much every Target, Wegmans, Tops, Walmart, everyone has Women's Day. We're kind of featured in the middle of the magazine.
That's incredible. And congratulations to both, by the way, because both of those were pretty recent for you, right? The feature with Channel 4 and the Women's Day thing is like, oh my gosh, you always are surprising me. Every time I see you on social media, I'm like, how does she do this? She's like Superwoman.
Continuing to just, like I said, grind, grind, grind. Every day, make a connection. Every day, reach out. Every day, figure out how you can help others. I mean, ultimately, the bigger we get, the more we can help. And that's kind of how I think about it. And that's kind of what motivates me to try to continue to grow this brand, is every time we're growing, we're able to help even more people. So that's what's really special about it.
Yes. So important. And I just love it. It's just so great. Thank you for everything that you do for everybody around the globe. I will share your stories and I will put all of your links in the show notes as well, so people can connect with you and say, hey. So thanks again for being here. I really appreciate you taking your time. I know you're a busy mom, woman, and career lady and doing all the things. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having
me. Thank
you so much. Appreciate it too.
All right, Kate. Have a great one.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It really meant so much to me to have Kate on the show. I know that her message is absolutely just an incredible mission to help everybody out there. So I really hope that you'll be able to check out her links and her her website so you can see more about her mission and what it is that she does. Just a quick little update about what's going on with the show. So there is going to be two more episodes from my podcast, and then I'm going to be closing out season one. You know, I'm a mama and school is out. Actually, today was the kids' last full day, but their first half day is tomorrow, and they've just got a couple more half days with exams, and then they are mine for the summer. So I'm going to try to enjoy as much as I can, but come fall, you guys are going to have some new guests and some new awesome inspiring stories. And I encourage anyone to reach out if there's a topic that you'd like me to cover. I would absolutely love to hear from anybody. And of course, if you find value in any of these episodes, I would love it if you shared them for me. I am definitely trying to reach as many people as I can to let them know that there is support out there. And I am your person. I am here if you need me. Please feel free to reach out to me anytime. You can find me just about on any social media. And don't forget about the YouTube channel. Everything is 123 Mom Squad, where you can see my guest interviews up close and personal. And to make sure that you do get all of my updates, make sure that you are subscribed to my emails. I send out one email a week just to kind of give you an update. And there's always a fun quote in there. All you got to do is go to 123momsquad.com and you'll get a landing page that all you got to do is put in your name and an email. And don't worry, I'm not going to spam you. I don't have time for that. It's literally one email a week just to say hey and kind of give you some news and updates and some fun life hacks, and usually just a fun quote or a little life tip in there for you. So that's what's happening now, and continue to make sure you're subscribed too, because during the summer when I'm not releasing an every week episode, I may just pop in and give you an update as to what's going on kind of behind the scenes. I do have some things going on, so I can't wait to roll them out for you. So make sure that you stay connected. In the meantime, have a beautiful day. Hi friends, let me take a quick minute and thank our very first show sponsor. If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. It's so easy, even I can do it. Trust me, that means you can do it too. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Thank you all for being here. I am so glad we found each other. See you next time. Have an incredible day, my beautiful friends.